Today is September 24th, 2014. I would like to teach about the phrase, the Word of God, how the Scripture shows us. The first occurrence of this phrase, the Word of God, is in 1 Samuel 9:27. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us." And he passed on. "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the Word of God." In Septuagint, this word is Rhema. And this was when the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. For Samuel, I will read the following. What was the Rhema of God here? And 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1 to 8, we will look what was the Rhema of God. And I am looking at this phrase today in order that we may be clear how the Scripture tells us exactly what this phrase means, because we have been using this phrase in different way. In fact, it's a wrong way. We always meant, when we are using this phrase, most of the time it was referring to the Bible. The Word of God says that way. It is written in the Word of God, in that kind of sense. The Word, or the Word of God, then in our minds comes this Bible, the Scripture. Therefore, we are looking at this phrase today from the Scripture, because the Scripture is profitable to us. All Scripture, graphe, is profitable. God breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, which is the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, artios, truly perfected, exo artizo, unto every good work. So in order for us to perfectly fit into that joints, not come off the joint, but to be right there, perfectly fit in the good works, as it is written in the 2 Timothy 3:16, that the man of God may be perfect, truly perfected unto every good work. That's why we are looking at this phrase, the Word of God, this phrase. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord, Jehovah, hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorrow for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying the bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and tabret, and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of Jehovah will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. So here, from this context, this was the rhema of God for Saul. It was prophecy of the future, what was to happen. And exactly these things took place for Saul. So this is the word of God. Okay, it's used different way than we are using it. We will look at 1 Kings 12:22. But the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying. Now here, the word is Logos. Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Thus said Jehovah, you shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearken therefore to the word of the Jehovah, and return to depart according to the word of the Lord, Jehovah. So here in 1 Kings, I just read, chapter 12, verse 23 and 24. In the Septuagint Greek, the word in verse 24, Thus said the Lord, and I just read this, You shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is Rhema, is from me. They hearken therefore to the word Logos of Jehovah, and return to depart according to the word Rhema of Jehovah. So in that way it is rendered. The phrase, the word of God, 1 Kings 12:22, here is the Logos of God, the word of God. And this word of God is again used in a sense that the word which Shemaiah directly received from God, as it is written, but the Logos of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, one who has the Spirit of God. He receives this word of God directly from God, not from the scripture, but directly from God, the source. Just as Samuel received the word of God, and he told Saul exactly what was going to take place as he would leave from Samuel. And here too is the same. So the children of Israel, when they heard the word of God, they listened to it. The next place where the word of God takes place, of course, is in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3. And it came to pass the same night the word of God came to Nathan, saying. So again, the word of God comes. And in this, the word of God here is Logos. The Logos of God came to Nathan. And I'll read 1 Chronicles what the word of God was that came to Nathan. 1 Chronicles, I'll read from chapter 17, verse 4 to 15. Go and tell David my servant, Thus said Jehovah, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have you not built me an house of cedars? Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus said Jehovah of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more, as at the beginning, and since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. Moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord Jehovah will build thee an house, and it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. This is about Saul. And verse 14, But I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. And verse 15, According to all these words, Logos, and according to all his vision, Horasis, so did Nathan speak unto David. So this, the word of God came to Nathan in vision. So the thing that we are looking at is the word of God is, in this case, Logos. It came directly from God. So that is what the scripture is showing us. The first occurrence and this occurrence, the three occurrences of this phrase, the word of God, and the two of them, Logos of God, one, Rhema of God, all of them came from God. God is showing all of them came from God. So that's the how God has given to us in the scripture, so that from the scripture we are able to see exactly what the word of God is. So no place it is referring to the written scriptures. Here we are not getting any idea that the written scripture is the word of God. In fact, the word of God is the sayings, rhema, utterance, or the logos, the logic, that came directly, real time, to a man on whom the Spirit of God was upon. And then they spoke. They spoke the words of God. Now we will look at the first occurrence where this phrase, the word of God, occurs in the New Testament side, Greek text side. And we will read from Mark 7:13. Now, in the Old Testament, we were able to give you the word where the word of God phrase came from Septuagint translation. Septuagint is the translation of the Greek, of the Old Testament Hebrew text in Greek. So we were able to see that at such and such place, the word was logos, and things was referring to rhema. So Mark 7:13, making the word logos of God of known effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things to be, things do ye. I'll read from Mark 7:5-13, the context. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? They might have noticed that Jesus' disciples, or maybe Jesus himself, didn't eat bread without washing their hands. And verse 6, so Jesus, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites. Now, when he is referring to the scriptures, Jesus many times said something like this. Instead of he would say, the scripture says, he would specifically go to that particular book. For example, Isaiah, Jeremiah, in that way, or the law and the prophets, in that kind of way. Jesus is referring to the scripture, and here, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrine, the commandment of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well ye rejected the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. Honor thy father and mother is one is respect. And another meaning is to support, financially support your father and mother. And verse 11, but you say, the tradition, their practice, you say, if a man shall say to his father, the son shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift. The son would say, instead of supporting you, this money, I'm taking it to the temple. And this, I'm going to honor God and give it to God. That way, give it to the temple. That is to say, a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother. Ye, the priests, the scribes, these religious leaders, you don't give the right instruction to the son. Son who says, I'm not going to support you. Basically, not really saying that I'm not going to support you. They will say, well, this money, I'm going to take it to the temple and donate, offer, make it as an offering. So these temple leaders, they are not saying to this son that this is wrong. You are to honor the father and mother, as the scripture says. And that's why in verse 12, and you suffer him no more to do aught, what is supposed to be, for his father or his mother. Make the word, logos of God, this instruction, the concept, reasonings, logic of God, of non-effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do you. So in this sense, here, the word of God is the logic of God. With the tradition, their logic, they make non-effect the word of God. So the word of God is here, is used in that sense, the logic of God. Now, the second one is in Luke chapter 3, verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God, this is Rhema, came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And I will read that section. And verse 3, and he came into all the country about Jordan, this is John, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written, grapho, in the book of the words, logos, of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, Jehovah. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the door of the trees. Every tree therefore which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And verse 10, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. So we note the following here. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit of God from his birth. So he had the Spirit of God. In order to receive the Word of God, Rhema or Logos, you need to have the Spirit of God. And Luke 1:15 says, for he shall be great, regarding John the Baptist, in the sight of the Lord, Jehovah, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. So the Word of God, either Rhema or the Logos, God is able to give to those with the Spirit of God. And John spoke Rhema to various group of people. Here the Rhema of God had instruction, reproof, etc. The Word of God, that is the Rhema of God, here is not referring to the written text, the Bible. This was what John the Baptist said to various group of people who came to him. So, the Rhema of God, the Word of God, is something that a person with the Spirit of God speaks. We have the Spirit of God, and we have this ability. When the Spirit of God came upon us, like Jesus said, you shall lambano, utilize. And one of the utilizations is to speak by the Spirit of God to bring out the words that God gives to us. And then we speak it forth. And this is the Word of God. Word from God. So we want to understand from the Scripture, right now we are going to the Scripture, the meaning of this phrase, the Word of God. And correctly understanding this phrase, the Word of God, either Rhema of God or Logos of God, and we see it, how it was practiced, and then we practice the same way. And because this is what the Scripture tells us, all Scripture which is profitable, so that we can be at the right location and not out of the socket. We will look at another record from Luke 5:1-4. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, this teaching was the Word of God. And Jesus Christ, with the Spirit of God, he spoke the Word from God to these people. They came to hear the Logos. And Jesus, the way he taught and spoke the Logos of God was not from the Scripture. The content we don't know here. It doesn't say. But how he taught, he taught the Word of God, Word from God, and the words that came directly from God. John the Baptist, he spoke the Rhema of God. The ones who came at that time
in that real time to the specific group of people with the specific questions, he spoke the rhema, the utterance. And in that utterance could have logic also. Here, the focus is logos of God, and Jesus taught. Here, in Luke 8:11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, the logos of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear them. Then come the devil and take away the word, logos, out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So here in this parable that Jesus spoke, the sower went to sow seed. Some fell on such and such ground, different kinds of grounds. The seed is the word, logos of God, the logic, the reason, concept. And they hear. It says that people who hear it, then the devil comes and takes away the logos, reason, out of their hearts. So Jesus Christ explains the meaning of the seed, various kind of field, ground. We will look at Luke 8:21, but read the context, Luke 8:19-21. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. There were a lot of people. And verse 20, it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are those which hear the word of God and do it. So hear, and we go back to the first occurrence and usage, and it is the word that is given at that moment, at that time. So that's why they hear it. And then they have decision to do it. So here the word is logos. Hear the word of God, logos of God, and do it. The sower and the seed, they hear it. Those who don't do it, the devil come and take it away. Or the cares of the world, that chokes this logic, pushes this away from that person's heart, and he doesn't become fruitful. We'll read next one. It's Luke 11:14-28. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he cast out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them. So it's a real time. The one with the Spirit of God. And then he speaks by the Spirit of God. This response to that accusation that Jesus was casting out devils with the prince of the devil, Beelzebub, the chief of devils, and some other tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. God showed him, and God gave him the words, logos, reason, and to answer them logically. And we'll read from verse 17. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. Logically speaking, God is giving this logic. This was not Jesus coming up with his own understanding. He always spoke the words that Father gave him to speak. So he's speaking the word of God right now. This is nothing to do with him going to the Bible, the scripture, graphe. But God is giving him the words, the logic, to reply Verse 19, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divides his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Now, the context we need to remember, that those who are casting out devils with the chief of the devils, not the way which is one with the Spirit of God, they will cast out with the finger of God, with the strength of God, authority of God. So those who cast out devils with the devils, bigger devils. Verse 24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return unto my house where I came out. And when he comes, he finds it swept and garnished. Then goes he and takes to him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the Logos of God, Word of God, and keep it. So the Word of God is referring not to the written scripture here, the Bible. The Word of God is referring to the words that Jesus spoke, the logic of God that he spoke. They that hear the Word of God and do it, keep it, practice it. The last 3 records, this point is emphasized, that the Word of God, the logic of God that we receive at that time, we are to act on it. We do it. We live it. Go to Acts. The aim of this teaching right now is not that we will go to every scripture where this phrase, the Word of God, appears in the scripture, but go over some of these places and to see what the scripture says about this phrase, the Word of God, so that we can hear it, see it, and we will practice right way. All scripture is profitable, theopneustos, inspiration of God, and profitable for doctrine. It will teach us how to do it, how to live right way, how to practice. Not only just right knowledge, but gives us how to live it. And if we are not, then reproof and correction. So it is the instruction in righteousness, the right way, God's right standard, that the man of God may be artios, not that he will deviate from the right path, but will be at the right location, right path, and moving forward, and able to thus build up others that he ministers, serves. We'll go to Acts chapter 4, 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Now, here, the background is the apostles, they were threatened not to speak or use the name of Jesus Christ. Don't preach through that name. And they came back to the rest of the believers, and everyone lifted up and prayed. Those who were with them, they lift up their voice and pray. And at the concluding section here, Acts 4:31, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake. The summary is they spoke the Logos of God with boldness. How did they do? By the Spirit of God. See, this is the how the Word of God is to be spoken. By the power of the Spirit of God, we can really say that Jesus is Lord, except by speaking by the Spirit of God. You cannot say Jesus is Lord. Practically make Him Lord of our lives. It is done by speaking by the Spirit of God. And to speak by the Spirit of God, one is speaking in tongues, the other is prophecy. This is speaking by the Spirit of God in the non-language. And these people, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And by this spiritual ability, they spoke the Word of God. So Word of God, this phrase, is not referring to reading the Scripture and reading the verses. And verses and verses and verses. But speaking by the Spirit. And God could work in you by the Spirit of God to go to the Scripture and read verses after verses after verses also. He puts the logic together and take you to the written, graphe, and to speak logically. But the message is from God and not from you. We can read verses after verses after verses from the Scripture, but with my own understanding, with our own understanding, we could put the verses according to how we think in that order and then teach accordingly. But it wasn't from God. The Word of God is referring from this particular study right now, and what we are seeing from the Scripture is the Word of God came, that the one with the Spirit of God, that God gives that word, Rhema or Logos, and that person speaks. Now here, they spoke the Word of God with boldness. Now we'll look at Acts chapter 1 to 7. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Grecians are Greek-speaking Jews, because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over his business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry, this word, diakonia, of the Word Logos. So, leave the Word of God, and then in verse 2, and serve diakonio tables. This is talking about the apostles becoming busy, working on serving the need of the Grecian Jews, widows, taking time away from their focus, which is to serve the Logos of God to those whom God wants them to speak to teach. And it doesn't mean that leave the Word of God doesn't mean that they leave, don't use the Scriptures, the Bible. They left the Word of God. Doesn't mean that they left the Scriptures, but not to have time so that they could not serve with the word that God gives to them to speak. That opportunity becomes less and less with this additional responsibility. That's why verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry, this diakonia, service, serving of the Logos. And the saying, this word, verse 5, saying is Logos, this logic, pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And, verse 7, and the word of God increased. So here, the word, Logos of God increased. It's not talking about the number of the written text, the Bible, increased. They decided to make many, many copies of the Logos of God. It's not what they're talking about. The logic, the concept of God increased. Instead of the logic of the world increased in the minds and hearts of people, but because of Peter and the apostles going to God and receiving the right decision, right instruction, wisdom from God, and not ending up having the additional responsibility to serve tables, they appointed these individuals, the names mentioned, and because of following God's wisdom and instruction, that Peter and the apostles, they were able to serve the leaders, disciples, because here it says, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So this kind of result took place. So the word of God increase here, the word of God, is that the logic, concept, the thinking pattern of God, God's logic increased. And as a result, the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. We'll look at Acts 8:4-14. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word Logos. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So Philip went. Not only Philip, but many others went to many, many places away from Jerusalem due to the persecution that was taking place. They were inspired to go to other parts of the countries and other countries also. And they preached the word, Logos, Logos of God. Philip also went this particular place, Samaria, and he preached Christ. So this is the Logos of God concerning Christ unto the Samaritans. And the Samaritans, with one accord, gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. So Philip spoke these Logos, logic. And this word, spake, is a Greek word, lego, logically. He spoke logically. And he did not speak his logic. Philip didn't speak his logic. He spoke the words from God. And because of that, the unclean spirits, verse 7, for unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So this is the way that we are to preach the word of God. Logos of God, Rhema of God. This is the way we do. By the Spirit of God. Not with your own understanding, but as God gives you the utterance, as God gives you that logic, you speak. then there's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles. And there will be a great joy in the city where God sends you. Harvest-ready fields. Without utilizing the Spirit of God and speak, nothing happens. But with the Spirit of God, as Jesus Christ said, you shall lambano dunamis. You shall use this spiritual ability when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then great joy will be seen in many places where God will send you. It's very simple. God made us. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And we are made so, such a way, designed in such a way, that we speak the Most High's words, utterance. And this is what God wants to do through His sons and daughters, that He will give His word. He wants to speak, to get the works done. How does God do His works? Genesis, in the beginning, He said, He spoke, He uttered, "Let there be light." And there was light. This is how He works. Throughout the scriptures, we see how He did things. He spoke. He spoke to Moses. He told him what to do, what he is to say, speak, what he is to do. Moses did that. He did not use his own understanding and spoke. He did not do things according to his own understanding. But he did exactly what God has given to him to say, to do. So we see this record in the scripture. What kind of mighty works and acts were done through this one person. One person with the Spirit of God who was meek, obedient, willing to speak the words that came from Him and did the instruction that God gave him. And verse 9, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before in the same city used sorceries and bewitched people of Samaria, giving that himself was some great one. He used evil spirit power, devils, spirits, and the logic of the devil." The devil also promotes his reasons, logic. He spoke to Eve his logic. He was subtle to get Eve to believe him, then do it, act on it. So that's how the mankind fell, got into trouble. But God has delivered us from that position through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have the Spirit of God. We are capable to speak the words out of the mouth of God. Logos or Rhema. Just like the prophets received the word of Jehovah, word of God. God does that with us. Moses said, "I wish everyone were prophets." There were only few people with the Spirit of God. Only few people who could receive the word of God. Many lined up in front of Moses throughout the day. He was tired, weary, and God gave him other 70. He put the Spirit upon them also. But Moses wished that everyone were prophet. And today, this his desire, prayer, has come to pass. As many as who has confessed with his mouth, her mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believed in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead, they were saved, and they have the Spirit of God that dwells in them. And they are capable to speak the word of God. And verse 10, "To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And him they had regard because of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. Simon, who produced miracles through the spirit of the devil. Now, in order for him to change, switch sides, the things, the power, the glory with which Philip moved must have been great. Nobody will switch from the superior to inferior. Inferior to superior, yes. So that's what happened. So Simon also believed. Verse 13, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So, receive the word of God is the word of God, the logic, the God's truth, God's instruction, God's way, and it was not used as that they received the Bible, but talking about when Philip spoke the words from God to the Samaritans, real time, and made an impact. So that's what it's referring to, the word of God here. We'll go to Acts 11:1. It is the same way it is used as in Acts chapter 8 that just we read. This is regarding Cornelius and those who were present who were saved. They were the first Gentiles getting saved. And 11:1 says, and the apostles and brethren that were in Jerusalem heard that Gentiles had also received the Logos of God. Here, Cornelius, the first Gentiles, received the word of God. And the usage is the same way as it is shown in Acts chapter 8. The Samaritan had received the word of God. The Gentile had also received the word of God. So we just move on to the next. So Acts 12:20, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God, and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. So, instead of this Herod, the king grew and strength and prevailed over the kingdom, the word of God grew. The logic of God, the way of God grew and multiplied. And in order for the word of God to grow and multiply, the one with the Spirit of God, they are being led by the Spirit of God and moving forward with God, and that they spoke the word from God, as Moses with the kingdom of Egypt and Pharaoh. Moses with God and God's logic. The king's logic, the Pharaoh's logic didn't prevail. Pharaoh said, no way, I will not let the children of Israel go out of the land of Egypt. They're going to remain as slaves. And the Pharaoh had the military power, the money. The kingdom was the greatest kingdom at that time, the richest, wealthiest in the whole world. Yet, that didn't prevail. Pharaoh's words didn't prevail. His logic didn't prevail. But what Moses said the logic of God, the words of God, that prevailed. Because Moses, one with the Spirit of God, he walked with God, he spoke the words out of the mouth of God. So that's how the Word of God grew and multiplied. It's not referring to the scripture that multiplied. The Bible, the number of that multiplied. So we are just looking at this phrase, the Word of God. How the scripture is showing us the usage, how it defines. And all these times, it is not referring to the Biblos or Graphe. Biblos means the Bible, book, and scripture, Graphe. And Acts 13:4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. See, always being led by the Spirit. God is connected in this. Departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. This is the first itinerary of Barnabas and Saul. And John Mark traveled together at this point. And verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. They spoke the word from God, by the Spirit of God. It's not meaning that they held the scrolls and then kept on reading from the scrolls according to their understanding. They might have read out of the scriptures, but according to God's direction. And they spoke the word of God. He says they spoke the word of God, not the word of man, word of Paul, but the one that came from God. Okay? And verse 6, and when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name is Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. So this is the manner Paul, Saul, at this time he's called, spoke by the Spirit of God, set his eye on him, and said, O, full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord, Jehovah, is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, Jehovah, of the Lord. So, this was the doctrine, the practice, living, what kind of power that the speaking, the words directly from God has done. The deputy knew from this, learned about this living God, the powerful God. So, it's the way the Word of God is used is by speaking by the Spirit of God. One, and of course, it comes from God. The source is always from God. And it's referring not to scriptures, the Bible, the text. The Bible, the text came by someone speaking the Word of God, the Rhema or the Logos of God, and holy men of God spake. They spoke. And then God wanted it to be written. And someone, as receiving dictation, he wrote it. So came the scripture. So the scripture has the Logos of God and Rhema of God. But the scripture shows us that when it says, when the phrase, the word of God, is not referring to the scripture, but the words that come from God. And the one with whom the Spirit of God, he brings out that Word of God. So that's the Word of God. And we are to do this. God is showing us this is a doctrine, profitable for doctrine. This is what a born-again believer, from day one, to do that, to speak the Word of God. It's not that you can only speak the Word of God if you know the Scripture. These days, wrong terminologies, that the Word of God, people think, if I have the knowledge of the Word of God, he's not talking about that. The accurate way of saying that then is, if I have the Scripture knowledge, then I can speak the Word of God. It's not true. The Word of God is spoken when God gives the utterance. God gives you that word. That you speak, then what happened? You spoke the Word of God. So, just as someone can speak in tongues, and God gives the words in foreign language, you did it. From day one, you have that ability. Day one, born again. Of course, if he's not instructed, he would not do that. If he's not encouraged, shown that you can do this through speaking tongues. The person who's ignorant, he would not be able to do that. But the one who's instructed, shown, or someone so hungered, God showed him to do how to speak in tongues and did it, he could do that. God gave the utterance and spoke. The similar way, God has given to us this ability to speak the Word of God, to speak the words that he gives to us, to our mouth, and then we speak. God wants us to do this. This is absolutely essential, fundamental for the Word of God to grow and multiply and to prevail. This is how God will do his works. The God that dwells in us. Jesus said, God dwells in me. He does the works. He spoke the Word of God. God didn't give the Spirit with measure. Unlimitedly. Unlimitedly, Jesus was able to speak the words. As much as he wants to speak, God gave him. And God opened the door for him to speak. So there are plenty of places that God has for you, all these good works, has for you to speak the words from God. Acts 13:44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. Word from God. They came to hear what God has to say. Now, like Cornelius requested Peter when he arrived at Cornelius' home, said, what God has to say to us? What word do you have from God now to us? We want to hear that. That's the Word of God. Acts 18:11, it says, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the Word of God, Logos of God, among them. So he remained there, and then Paul, by the Spirit of God, gave that logic of God and taught them. Is not simply gave them knowledge. God is not just give them the knowledge. God will always give them how to do it, how to live, the instruction, commandments. God's wisdom is so that a person can live it. And God wants his people, beloved, to prosper. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul to prosper. That God wants you to benefit. So he gives his logos, rhema, to encourage you to continually move forward with him, always to recognize who is the source, who is the one who leads us to the green pastures, who is the fountain of living water, that we are constantly going to that source. Therefore, we get benefits, blessed life. And then Acts 19:20 says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Not the word of the Ephesus, the world. Word of the world, logic of the world, grew mightily and prevailed. Certain places in the world, that's what's happening. Their logic, their way of thinking, concept, idea, that is prevailing. But God will take us to the place. He's moving us forward so that the Word of God grows and in a strength so mightily and for it to prevail. So the people in Ephesus, they received this logic of God. They believed, turned to living God. They began to be led by the Spirit of God, and they threw away junks, the previous logic, the sorceries, witchcraft, other gods, other way of life, the worldly way, to the beneficial way, God's way, and the Word of God so mightily grew and prevailed. We'll go to now to the church epistle. And the church epistle, Romans, gives the logic of God and, of course, tells us many wonderful things so that we continue to be led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And here we will see Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Some text says rhema of Christ, but it comes from God, said concerning Christ. That's how faith comes. And verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their rhema unto the ends of the world. So what came? Faith came. And how the faith comes? As we receive the utterance. God gives us the utterance. We speak. Then faith comes. Not with just quoting the scriptures. With our own understanding. With our own ability. But with God. With God, God inspires you to quote the scripture. God brings you to that scripture. Then you say that. That's because this is what God wants you to say. So, we need to understand that this is not the law that we are making, new law. You cannot go to the book, the Bible. You cannot open the Bible. It's not what God is saying. God is saying, speak what I tell you to speak. And in that, like on the day of Pentecost, Peter opened his mouth and God gave him the utterance, the words. In that, he referred to many scripture. Many places, Psalms, Daniel, from those places that God got Peter to speak. But God gave those words. So when the people over there, about 3,000 souls, it's a real time God speaking to them. And God really went directly into these people's heart. And they said, okay, now what shall we do? What shall we do? They received. So, they received the Word of God, and they knew how to get saved. They got saved. So, they received the Word of God, Logos of God, gladly. So, it was not Peter's intellectual lecture that he did from the Scripture, but he spoke the words that God gave him to speak. So, that's what we do. And we can do this from day one. As soon as you are born again, we can use, and God wants you to use this ability to speak the Word of God, Word from God. And when we do this, revolution, the mighty growth of the outreach, growth will take place. The acts, your acts will start from that time. So it's very important. This is a very important subject. The foundation. One of the foundations. If the foundation is not solid, built on the sand, wrong premises, thinking the Word of God is referring to the Bible, and then therefore we need to teach the Word, meaning to teach from the Scripture. And if you don't teach from the Scriptures, the Word, we say, then you are not teaching the Word. If you're not holding the book and teach from the Scriptures, the verse written in that text, then you are not teaching the Word of God. It's not what God is saying. The Scripture is saying that it is not that way. We have looked at all these places where the phrase the Word of God used. The Word of God is given from God. And we have the Spirit of God, we speak. Then what happened? The Word of God came out from you. We'll go to 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many which corrupt the logos of God, that corrupt the logic of God. I think in 2 Timothy, Hymenaeus, Philistus, they corrupted the logos of God by logically saying wrong logic that resurrection had already taken place. So that's a corrupting the Word of God. The saying, speech, speaking. God didn't say that logos. But when we will speak our own logos reasons, we will corrupt the Word of God. And we can, like in 2 Corinthians 4:2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, walking in craftiness, nor handling the logos of God deceitfully. To handling the Word of God deceitfully means, just as I said, speaking different logos, not God's logos. Ephesians 6:17, this is very dynamic, powerful thing God is saying to us in the Scripture. From the Scripture we come to know, which is profitable. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema of God, Word of God. So, God wants you to utilize this sword of the Spirit. Offense. Not defense. But this is for attack. Offense. Cut through the darkness. Cut through the worldly logic, worldly ways. So this is something God wants us to utilize. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Rhema of God, that we speak the words that comes from God. We utter those words. So Colossians 1:25, whereof Paul says, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill, complete the Word of God, the logic of God, the church epistles. Now we'll go to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, this is Logos of God, which ye heard of us, Timothy, Silas, and Paul, they spoke. See, heard of us means they spoke. They spoke the Word of God, the Logos of God. These are Gentile believers. Yes, there were some proselytes and the Jews who believed. The majority was the Gentiles. The church epistles hasn't been written. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John was not written. The everything in the Greek New Testament side haven't been written. No texts, no scrolls yet. This epistle of the 1 Thessalonians was sent to the Thessalonian church about 1 year later, after the first time Paul, Silas, Timothy arrived in Thessalonica. They spent about 3 Sabbath days and plus some more, maybe weeks, maximum maybe 5 weeks. And then they left for Berea and Paul to Athens and then Corinth. From Corinth, he writes this 1 Thessalonians epistle. So the word of God, the gospel of God, sounded out from them, not only in Macedonia, but Achaia, and to so many parts of the world. The word of God was taught by these people, Thessalonians. And Thessalonians, the believers, they heard the Logos of God. Whatever that logic, whatever the instruction, whatever the wisdom that God gave to Paul, he had the Spirit of God, Silas had, Timotheus had, that it was livable thing, practicable things, simple. They turned from idols to the living God. They were brought, connected to the living God, and man, Paul, Timothy, Silas, they left. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have emails, the very quick way of communication to follow up, continue to give teachings to them. They didn't have that. They left there. The Thessalonians didn't have the scroll of the church epistles to read every morning or any time. But whatever the Logos of God, that God spoke to them at that time, was enough, sufficient, that they were able to be led by the Spirit of God, and they were built up. They were the example church, that from them the gospel of God sounded out. So they definitely preached and taught the word of God the right way by the Spirit of God. So the oldest Thessalonian believer could be 1 year old believer. Many of them are 8 months old believer, or 9 months old believers, or 3 months old believers. So this kind of young church, the believers, from them sounded out the gospel of God. And they didn't have the scriptures, the Bible. Only the Jewish ones, believers, had, maybe some of them had the scrolls of the Old Testament with them. Some of them could go to the synagogue and hear or read the Old Testament scriptures. But the Gentiles, they didn't have, might have read, gone there too. But the majority of them didn't have the scripture, the written book. We say these days, traditionally, the Word of God. The Word of God, what God says from the Scripture, is the Word that God gives to us, to our mouth, and then we speak. That's the Word of God. And that's what Paul, Silas, Timothy did. So that got the Thessalonians, such young believers, right away, 3-4 weeks, got them ready, that they could walk with God and could speak the Word of God. So they could speak the Word of God from that time. The Word of God is not equal to the Scriptures. We traditionally teach you need to know the Word of God to preach or teach. It's not true. We can know the Scriptures, yes. We can increase the knowledge of the Scriptures. But you can speak the Word of God, just like you can speak in tongues from day one. So this is something that God wants us to do, to speak the Word of God, to speak the words of life. God wants us to speak through you, to give the words to the people all over the world. And you can do it right away. And as you walk with God, yes, definitely you will increase the knowledge of the Scriptures. God will direct you. We are to be led by the Spirit of God. God wants you to be led by the Spirit of God, and we can increase the knowledge of the Scriptures. And overseers, God encouraged them to read also. Read the Scriptures, but not by your own strength. The scribes and Pharisees, they search the Scriptures without God, without assistance of God, and they didn't recognize the Messiah at that time. So just searching the scriptures, you may get knowledge, but you will miss the mark. You cannot hit the bullseye. Only with God, being led by the Spirit of God, that we are meek and humble, then we can really see. Because the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, He has to enlighten the eyes of understanding. He has to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him, that we may know, that we can know. So that is the way we receive this enlightenment, inspiration, understanding. God is giving us the Word of God. That's the Word of God. We need to have that. That's the Word of God. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge. Then we have the Word of God. That's how we have the Word of God. And He tells us when to speak that word, how to speak that word, logically, so forth. Hebrews 4:12, for the Logos of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the Logos God, the word that God, the logic, and that logic is real time, that comes from God, and that we speak, that is living. It's not static, just stationary. But it's dynamic, quick, and energetic, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of them. It cut through that. God will give us that. And Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds or ages were framed by the Word of God, the Rhema, the utterance, how the ages and the worlds are, like how it is framed. How did He do it? By His utterance, like lightly God speaks. And now God speaks through us who are at the right hand of God, the ones who are in the holy presence, holy and without blame, sons and daughters of God. God has made us that way so that we can be the reflection of His glory, the brightness of His image. Through us He will declare His glory. Through us He will show the manifold wisdom of God. How? For Him to give us that word, and that we speak, and we do. So I think I have covered these places in the scripture, graphe, so that we can know how the graphe, which is for us to enjoy that benefit, the profit, to keep us at the right location, the ball and socket, at the right place. Regarding this foundation, one of the foundations, the Word of God, and to rightly understand this phrase, the Word of God, and therefore we can rightly practice also. And by having the right understanding that the Word of God comes from God, the origin is from God, and to the ones with the Spirit of God, that person receives this and then gives out, speak, and live. So that's the Word of God, both logic aspect and utterance aspect, Logos and Rhema. And from the day one, a person, a born-again person, the day one, can speak the Word of God. Because the Word of God, this comes from God. It's not referring to the Scripture. Unless you have the Scripture knowledge, you cannot speak the Word of God. is not what the scripture says. Scripture says that the word of God came to so and so. It comes and we speak. And when we speak that word of God, then faith comes. And it is the sword of the Spirit, the offense, attack. God wants us to use this. And by us using this spiritual ability, right away, you shall lambano, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, when you are born again, right away, use it. When we use this, then the great things take place. Mighty signs, wonders, and miracles take place. So this is what I want to share today.